Welcome to this online interview by Project Cargo Weekly. Our very special guest of honor today is Mr. Basil Hallo. He is the managing director of MHT Forwarding and he's based in the UK. First and foremost, Basil, very welcome to this interview.
Thank you. Merci beaucoup.
Me too. Yeah. Basil, I always allow my interviewees to elaborate a little bit on their background. How come you ended up in forwarding, Basil, and obviously also speak fluent French? How come you are not in the City of London working in a bank? Why are you in forwarding?
Because I was a bad student, so I must have done something wrong.
Right.
No, I was... I had no logistics background and no logistics aspirations, let's say. Mm-hmm. I took over a family business in 2007 because my father unfortunately passed away suddenly. So I had the opportunity to take over what was at the time Michelin Rail Transport. So before that, I was working in the packaging industry. I used to work for an old Franco-English company called Carnot Metalbox, okay, that's now owned by the Americans, called Crown, and they make beverage cans.
Oh, yeah.
So I was an auditor for them, an internal auditor, then I was finance controller, and then this opportunity came up and I proposed to the family that I take over the business since dad had gone away, and I've been here since 2007. So I must be doing something wrong. The French origin is because I'm French through and through. Both my parents were French. I was born in Marseille. I was born in Marseille.
Okay.
I have a French passport, a proud French passport. All my family are French. So yeah, there's the only thing is we moved to the UK when my dad started in the logistics world back in 78, so I've been here forever and beyond. That's why I sound English, but
yeah, you certainly do.
But yeah, so we've been here. I studied here. I moved to France for about 10 years when I was working for Metalbox, but or in France and around the world, but apart from that, I've been in the UK all the time.
Okay, so that's quite a long career in forwarding. What can you tell our viewers about MHT and Michel Hurel, MHT Forwarding today? What are you up to?
Oh no, what am I up to? Well, we've always been an African freight forwarder because most of our business has always been, let's say, initially North Africa.
Yeah.
Let's say the Francophone side, the Tunisia, Morocco, and all that.
Yeah.
Algeria. And then that evolved with time because a lot of our customers in these regions were oil and gas customers.
Oh, yeah.
And then they took us with them.
Yeah.
And asked us if we could help them, you know, elsewhere in Africa and around the world. So we've sort of specialized in that region, but we're generally an international freight forwarder, but most of our experience has always been in that whole Maghreb region of North Africa where we have our own offices.
Oh, yeah.
And now we do a lot of business, you know, for a few of the big oil and gas servicing companies, and that's evolved around the world. It can be Caspian, it can be, you know, East Africa, North Africa, West Africa. It's sort of evolved from there.
Yeah. So in a way, you've done the right way. You build up your customer base where you are strong, and then doing a good service for them, they automatically then will ask you for other destinations. And I guess
that's a very basic. I mean, that's how it's evolved, and we're lucky. I do consider ourselves lucky because I know that a lot of these big customers that we have, and we're lucky to have, you know, we probably wouldn't get past the reception today because of the size we are. But they've kept us; they're happy to have us, and we're happy to work for them. I mean, they also help us evolve in a positive way. These big companies tend to set the standards in terms of, you know, what is needed in our in this new world we live in, and we evolve accordingly. You know, we're ISO, we have a quality management system, we try and evolve with them to stay up to their standards.
So basically, I would say that you are living proof that small and medium-sized, let's say, companies can certainly survive today by doing
Yeah.
a good job. And I mean, it's very impressive because I know very well the compliancy and the oil and gas. It's like more compliance than work, actually, in a way.
sometimes that's what I think, yeah, but
So, what can you tell our viewers about where are you located? You mentioned North Africa with offices. Tell us about your spread out or your people. Where
so
are you?
there is a new there is a sort of a, there's a, that's a bit of a curveball, but we might address this later because I sold the business in 2021, although I'm still managing director. But if we concentrate purely on MHT, we have offices in Tunisia and Algeria. These are our own offices, so these are offices where we can operate, and especially in Algeria where we have a customs clearance license, which is the sort of prized sesame over there. So we can, for a lot of the Algerian contracts, we work with Sonatrach suppliers for the state-owned oil and gas business, and we help them do door-to-door shipments, which is, you know, the most complicated in Algeria, let's say. So that's the sort of the region. Libya is picking up, still unstable, but there's a lot of business into Libya, either via Tunisia or direct through or through Malta. These are regions where we operate. I mean, you know, we're agents of the larger forwarders for these regions, for some of them, but we also realize that they're not very active. I think these are regions that are too unstable for them, and Algeria has a bad reputation because it can be a complicated process to operate in Algeria. And we realized that although we were agents for these big forwarders, we hardly handle any shipments for them there because they're not very active. So
I can imagine. How do you view the fact that some shipping lines nowadays pretend to be freight forwarders? You know, they try to cut out the middleman, so to speak. How do you view that? Is that something you come across in your business too?
I think there'll always be. I mean, you know, the two main ones are probably going to be AGL or MSC and CMA at the moment that we can see, because AGL and CMA both have a big African presence, so that they're, let's say, more on my radar than others. I always have I think there's some things you can change and some things you can't change. Whether they've decided to adopt this strategy for the market, whether I agree with it or not, I think unfortunately I won't be able to change much. So I always tell the people in the business, listen, we've got to make sure that our customers are happy with what we do. And I think, you know, I'm convinced that these bigger players cannot offer the service we can offer. So if we don't make mistakes, I don't really care about them. They're not I don't work with them. I don't use this. I mean, obviously, we have to use MSC and CMA. You know, I think technically anybody can go and try and tap anybody's business. It's for us to be flawless in how we look after our customers, whether operationally or commercially. And if we do that well, then I'm not really worried about the rest. Do I agree with what they do? No, but
Now, of course,
I am
they
small fish in the big sea, so
yeah, and of course, they do have a big pot of money, especially after Corona, that they can throw after anything nowadays. So, but I do concur, fully agree with you. If you give a good service, hang on to your customers, and really do flawlessly for them, why should they change?
yeah.
What I've heard from other interviews is, of course, that some these big ones, what they can do is they can offer 6 months credit or 3 months credit if they so want. That's the only, but that's not really, it's a
Well,
competitive advantage, but
we can too. I think one of the deal breakers in our in freight forwarding these days, and where it's evolved negatively, is that if the whole operations become cost-based, then we're not going down the right route. And I think one of the big flaws we've seen recently is lack of accountability. You know, people think they can get away with make a mistake, just say, hey, it's not my fault, I didn't do
Yeah,
this,
somebody
and
else.
hide behind excuses. And I
Yeah.
think I always tell the guys in the office, listen, we're accountable for what we do. If we
Yeah.
make a mistake, we'll pay for it. I'm not going to turn around. I mean, the other day I did a job with a forwarder in Belgium, and the last minute he said, oh, I've made a mistake on my price, this is what I need to do. But it was a big piece, and
Yeah.
the increase in cost was 20,000, and he just sent me the invoice and said, you know, this is the new cost to do the job. I can't turn around to my customer and say, oh, by the way,
No, of course
now
not.
that I've got the job and it's shipped and we're 100 meters away from the delivery point, I'm going to charge you 20,000. And I think this is where I find we differentiate ourselves from the others, is that we don't do that. We
No.
can't, we're not, this is not how we are, and this is not what we do, and it shouldn't be like that. And I don't think forwarders should be thinking like that on the basis that they can just get away with, you know,
No.
let's be cheap and then whatever happens, it's not my fault.
No, I fully agree. You know, I'm beginning to think this sound almost like our politics. Whenever roadworks are being half finished, then the contractor nominated by the local council will turn back and say, "Oh, we can't finish it. We just have to have this extra." And then you are in the middle of it. It's become like a norm nowadays that if we can get away with it, we can get away with it. And there seems to be no shame. I mean, some companies have no shame about sending you an extra invoice just like that without any.
And I mean, it baffles me. And I think we've probably learned the hard way, is that okay, our customers give us a lot of business,
Yeah.
but you know, I don't think we've ever sent an extra invoice for a job.
No.
Ever. It's just not, you do the job, you've had the opportunity to price it, you've had the opportunity to prepare the shipment.
Yeah.
If you don't know before, then you don't know at all.
No, I fully concur. So, what would you say your head count? How many guys you have working for you?
So we've got three offices now.
Yeah.
We have the UK head office where there's 15 of us.
Okay.
There's the French office where there's a half dozen, there's about six of us there. So they're in Marseille, so that's which is a strategic route for us for
Of
this
course.
whole North African trade.
Yeah.
And then we have a very small US office in Houston,
Hi.
which is down to two people,
Okay.
also for the oil and gas hubs.
Of course, yes. No, it's
But then we have the obviously I can't forget my North African counterparts. We have the Tunisia and Algeria set up,
yeah.
which is a I mean, I always say it boasts bigger numbers in headcount, purely for economical reasons, but also for the customs clearance process in Algeria. It's very time consuming,
Sure.
so there's a lot more people. There's 20 of us in the Algerian office, and
Oh,
another five in the Tunisian one. But a lot of the Algerian office are the guys doing the customs clearance entries on
yeah.
site.
Yeah. Now, I must say, I've never heard of anyone that says it's easy peasy to have a delivery made to Algeria and beyond the port. So, I think you really specialized in a strong market there. So,
It's cost me all my hair, but
yeah.
yeah.
I can imagine. Algeria is a country we don't really hear much about it in the news. I can't recall even when I last heard anything in any news about the country. But it's big and
No.
it's rich in oil and
Well,
gas, isn't it? I mean,
it's the biggest country in Africa, I believe. So, and in terms of natural resources, especially for oil and gas,
yeah.
it's always busy for those reasons. And it's, you know, there's a lot of Chinese at the moment that are there, but there's also a lot of EPC companies. You know, the Spanish are there. So it's always busy, and once you're in the portfolio or in the market of oil and gas, there's always stuff to do,
Yeah.
and it's our job also to educate, let's say, the more westernized countries on how to operate in Algeria. It's not as dark and obscure as everybody believes. There's a process. It's a painful one, but if you follow it, it works.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I think it's the case, if you talk to most African freight forwarders, you'll realize that getting a cargo to Africa has a cost.
Yeah.
Doing the local part will cost you more. And it's not, it's the way the system is, and it's not people profiteering from, well, I'm sure there are people up the chain profiteering, but for us forwarders, people always say, "Oh, that's expensive," but I think that's the case in most of Africa. Getting cargo there is not the problem. It's handling the cost locally, which is always a bit high.
I can imagine, yeah. It's how do you get about, besides having a set of strong loyal customers from early on, how do you get go about getting more customers and let's say expand? Are you a member of any networks? Do you promote yourself at conferences? How do you do to up your international profile?
Well, I only have I'm a loyal person, Bo. I'm only members of Cross Ocean. It's my
Oh,
only.
very nice to hear.
No, we didn't. We've never had. I had a salesperson before. It didn't quite work out. I am now looking for a new one. I think it's a lot of it's word of mouth. I mean, I've got a few big appointments next week in Paris, and it's using the reference letters we get from our bigger customers,
Of
where people
course.
say, "Oh, hello, you're working with these people. Can we work with you?" So it's either specialized because of the regions we work in, or it's through word of mouth with, people leaving some oil and gas companies, moving to others, and saying, "Oh, we worked with them; they were good," and bringing them on board. So, we did. Let's say word of mouth is the trend, but we're probably going to try and also evolve on a more general cargo basis, as opposed to only getting the in France, you say the five-legged sheep.
Yeah, right. Good.
Something a little easier sometimes, run of
I
the
get it.
mill.
But it sounds to me like the way you build up your business, it may take a little bit longer. On the upside of that is that it's more difficult to dismantle. I mean, we see often freight forwarding companies, suddenly six people are leaving and they take the whole business with them and start a new company.
Yeah, exactly.
They can't do that in your case because you build
No.
it up gradually and by personal connections. And you are the MD there, so they can't just copy paste and leave you, so to speak.
No, and I think that, well, they probably could if they could find a forwarder that was referenced with these players, but I think most of the customers that we have, you can't work with them if you're not referenced, if you haven't done a whole supplier approval process. So it allows us some stability, at least in numbers. And the only downturn of this at the moment is that we're indexed to the barrel price. So at the moment it's good, but a few years back when it was zero or even negative, times were a bit more quiet.
Definitely, definitely. So the whole green hysteria, as I call it, to some extent, we are not stopping oil explorations just now. Even some lobby would like us to be totally green and only do wind power. Oil and gas is still
No,
very much.
I don't think I personally don't think it's going anywhere. I am sure that the philosophy has changed, the mentality has changed. A lot of the reporting we do for our customers, they ask for the carbon footprint of the operations we do for them. What they do with it, apart from put it in a report to say that they do something about it. I mean, I couldn't think of a worst industry to be in for my carbon footprint. I work in logistics in the oil and gas industry. I mean, I'm enemy number one, but I do think that the philosophy is changing. I even know of a few big oil and gas players who, will not choose a project if there's an alternative one with a better carbon footprint. So I do think that there has been a change. Whether this change will be, in my lifetime, I don't think so.
No, it's just
There's too much money everywhere. At least in my industry, there's way too much money involved for everybody, for anybody to say no.
exactly. It's interesting. I mean, you at the sharp end, you see from the logistic, you see really what's happening and what's going on the ground. You're away from the government corridors, so you can really
Yes.
see on the ground what's happening there.
Yeah.
One of my final questions here is, when you look into your crystal ball, Basil here, besides being competent and experienced project forwarder, When you look into your crystal ball for 26, what do you see? Do you see positive signs, sunshine?
Well, I'm always half full rather than half empty. So
Yeah.
my wife says I always see the good side of things, and I'm
Right.
overly positive. So, but I do have a positive feeling for 2026. At least in our sector that we work in, it tends to be, it's always been cyclical. And because we don't handle a lot of general cargo, we don't have that underlying business that's going to keep us stable. We still have these seas, let's say, seasonalities
Yeah.
year after year. And last year was, I felt, a quiet year. We didn't break any records. We were
No.
we made budget, but we didn't, you know, we didn't, nothing was amazing. And I feel that after that, there tends to be a positive trend. So I'm hoping that 2026 will be better than 2025, at least for the customers I work with. But we shall see. So far, the beginning of the year is good, so
Good to
we
hear.
can't complain.
Good to hear. And very final one. Will you expand in Africa? I mean, I read a lot of reports that it's the last continent where something's happening. And will you expand your footprint in Africa with own offices, or how do you see that?
As I briefly mentioned initially, we have sold to a bigger group, which is called LVO, which is Leon Vincent. The whole, let's say, group and entities are owned by an investment fund, an English one. So we remain fairly independent, and our objective is purely to carry on doing what we do. And LVO is growing, so there's definitely possibilities out there for us to do some mergers and acquisitions and see if we can expand. And but not only in Africa, I think that's the budget's there. We need it till 2020. For the next 2 3 years, we'll be trying to grow and potentially buy some interesting businesses around the world.
Okay, cool. Now let's if I'll put my ear to the ground, I'll hear anything, I'll give you a tip.
Yeah, I was going to send you a mail, but I thought because I'm going to talk to you,
Of
I'll keep
course.
it once the video's off, I'll talk to you about it.
Okay. Yeah, that's good. We better keep off the record. Very good, Basil. I want to say you're an interesting guy, and we met before both conferences and also in London before. Really interesting. The markets you are into are not something can easily be copy pasted. I really like it, and that's real project cargo and tricky. Nothing is ever just down the road for those
Nothing's
markets.
easy.
No,
Nothing's easy.
definitely. So I want to formally thank you very much, Basil.
My pleasure, Bo. It was always a pleasure to speak to you.
Likewise, and to all our listeners, viewers, and readers from around the world, this was yet another great interview by Project Cargo Weekly. Our special guest of honor today has been Mr. Basil Hallo. He is the MD of MHT Forwarding. He's based in London, but you couldn't believe that he's actually French. That's how good English and French he speaks.
I mean,
So,
I'm not in London. I'm in Oxford. I'm in Oxford.
okay, Oxford. Yeah, we have
But even
to.
better.
Where Inspector Morse used to be. So,
Exactly. Exactly.
yeah, for me and Project Cargo Weekly, thank you very much to everyone, and see you next time. Thank you.
Merci.